the devil likes taking footholds in children at a very young age, because Jesus and God, like, we all, like, he loved the children. And I think it's really important that we teach them the truth at a young age, so they can compete with the lies that they have. Because when they get older, he uses the same techniques as he did as a child.
I was just going to say, Satan is smart. The enemy is smart. And he goes back to the strongholds where he's gotten mileage in the past.
Yeah.
And he's very opportunistic. And I think you're right. He tests us at a young age.
Welcome to the Study with Friends radio program, an outreach of studywithfriends.org. Study with Friends is a Bible study community created to deepen your relationship with God. If you miss any part of this program, or if you want to hear it again, you can download the podcast on iTunes or listen online at studywithfriends.org, where you'll also find listening guides and worksheets you can download to follow along, and sometimes bonus material we don't have time to air on the broadcast. That's studywithfriends.org. This week in our ongoing study of 2 Corinthians 10, 4, and 5, we're looking at the segment that talks about strongholds, arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. There are so many things in my life that fall under this category. What comforts me the most is that God promises to grow me into someone who can break those strongholds through his mighty power living in me. Let's study together.
I'll start by reading 2 Corinthians 10. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. In each session, we've really just unpacked a tiny piece of this scripture, and this week we're working on strongholds, arguments, and high things. A partner verse is 1 Timothy 6, verse 12, which is simple and short, and it says, fight the good fight of the faith. And I'll start with a little parable. A story is told of a little boy who came into his mother's kitchen and announced to her, that was a good fight. And the mother looked at a little boy, and his shirt was torn and dirty. His jeans were ripped at the knee, and he had a black eye and a big scrape on his elbow. What was so good about it, she asked. And he replied, I won. 1 Timothy 6, 12 tells us to fight the good fight of faith. The same thing that made it a good fight for the little boy makes it a good fight for us, because we know we're on the winning side. We know that Satan is a defeated foe and that his fate was sealed by the work on the cross. Revelation 20:10 tells us he'll spend eternity in the lake of fire. We also know that he's powerless to steal from us our eternal salvation once it's been secured through our belief in Jesus Christ, his work on the cross, and his resurrection. So Satan's only power is to lie to believers in such convincing ways that we would partially or completely waste the abundant life Jesus intended for us here on earth. Satan goes about that in at least three ways: strongholds, arguments, and high things described in our 2 Corinthians passage. And I'll say now, as we get started, I think that these are tools of the enemy, but we also participate. And I think it's important for me to frame it that way, because I never like the devil made me do it kind of, like, there is no such thing as a sin that you're forced into in some way. You have to agree. Because in fact, that really undercuts the concept of what we're trying to do with this study, which is understand how to take our own control over our own thought life and the behaviors that result from our thought life. And so I think it's really important to frame this conversation. I mean, I think all the conversations, but this one in particular, so that we know what part of ownership we have over these three strongholds, arguments, and high things. Okay, the definition of stronghold is a well-fortified place, a fortress. And I needed to go to the dictionary, because strongholds in the Christian community, it just, there are some words that become like white noise. You know what it means. For the purposes of a Bible study, where we really want to make sure that everybody understands everything we're saying, I thought I better not let that buzzword just go by without defining it. And as I was defining it, it really helped me to have a deeper understanding too. Christian authors said a stronghold is an area of thinking in which we allow Satan entry. And my Strong's Exhaustive Concordance gives me the original language, akiroma. That's the word that's written in the 2 Corinthians passage. And it says it's a remote derivative of another word, which means to fortify through the idea of holding safely, which appealed to me more for the reason that I just said a minute ago, because it implies our participation. Right. So if we piece all these together, I think we begin to understand the concept as it's intended in Scripture. A stronghold is an area of our lives where we have allowed ourselves to believe Satan's lies and encouraged a fortification through our holding safely to that lie. Some examples might include addictions, doubt, guilt, despair. And some might say a stronghold is something that has a strong hold on our lives, but I would argue we would have to have a strong hold on it as well. Mm-hmm. As I wrote in the homework, a favorite preacher of mine often says that Satan doesn't start with a stronghold. Instead, he starts with a toehold, then gets a foothold and works up to a stronghold. And that I do know is Charles Stanley. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I didn't source it in the homework. But based on the understanding of all these different definitions, let's talk a little bit about how Satan goes about doing this. I'd like to start by naming some strongholds. And I named some, mm-hmm. but I want you guys to chime in. I think it's easy to say addiction and what I would call like the big ones, mm-hmm. big strongholds. But let's have a few big ones, and then let's dig deeper than, I don't know, I think if you don't have an addiction, it's mm-hmm. easy to be like, oh, a stronghold is something like an addiction. And yeah. then you dismiss the idea yeah. of a stronghold in your life.
Yeah.
Because you're like, I don't have that.
Yeah, not me.
Or the addiction to money or material, whatever. Yeah. These are strongholds that we can actually have a stiff arm approach about, like, oh, mm-hmm. that's out there. That's somebody else's stronghold, and I don't really have that. Mm-hmm. And I think then we minimize the idea of what strongholds are happening in our own lives, and that the enemy loves that. Let's go ahead and start with the easy ones, big ones. I said two, addiction. I also wrote in the homework, doubts. I'm going to put that under the small ones because I don't think most people would think doubt is right. a stronghold.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Let's not say small. Let's say less obvious.
Okay.
In the less obvious category. I also wrote in the homework, guilt. Do you think that's in the obvious or less obvious category?
Less
yeah,
obvious.
Yeah, I think okay. less obvious.
And despair. I'm going to say less obvious for despair, too. I think sometimes despair feels like something you can't control.
Yeah.
Usually it's yeah. a result of something that happened, and you yeah. feel like, well, there's nothing I can do about that.
Right. I think addiction's also bigger categorized because it's identified by society more, you know.
Oh,
it's
guilt yeah. and doubt. It has external.
It's, yeah. Exactly. It's external.
There's guilt and doubt are things too. That you keep inside of you. And
right. Other people can see that more.
Yeah. Yeah. It's more obvious.
Than what's
okay.
going on in your head.
So we'll mm-hmm. call these more obvious and less obvious.
That's yeah.
Great. You see where I'm going with this, that mm-hmm. I don't want to yeah. allow those less obvious strongholds to pass our notice because right. I think we have to have a conversation about that. I think there's more people listening today who have the less obvious strongholds,
yeah.
they get through small cracks in the
mm-hmm.
armor.
Mm-hmm.
What about some other obvious, I don't know, money? Is money a stronghold?
Well, you have to, that's addiction.
Yeah, the love of it or the need
addiction,
to have
the
things.
Definition of addiction is something that like you're completely consumed with.
Okay.
Maybe addictions could be broken down into not less obvious, but even more, you know, like
yeah.
it could be branched
that's
out
right.
even
yeah, that's
more.
Just a big one.
Yeah, addiction is yeah, a huge so much, picture. Right. You could get into a big picture of all
yeah,
of the different
I always
addictions.
Think of substances when I think of addiction. All right, yeah. I'm going to go ahead and put money in there anyway.
Yeah,
you can maybe draw, you can more draw like a stem chart if you want to.
Yeah. But you could think maybe of things like money and more like idling or idolizing.
Yeah.
Idolizing, I meant.
Maybe let's circle back when we talk about high things.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We'll unpack it together.
Okay. Yeah.
What are other more obvious strongholds that you think of? Like if you saw a friend who had a stronghold and you're like, man, she's got, that's a stronghold in her life. What mm-hmm. would it be?
Weight issues.
That feels like addiction, right?
Yeah. Well, I think. Like addiction to food.
Okay.
Maybe
let's
things
put weight.
That, yeah. Addiction or things that you are so focused on all the time. Like if you're always a very anxious person or you're always worried about your weight or you're always like kind of OCD issues.
Okay, then let's like, back yeah. it up. This is a good, I like where you're going because if what we said about a stronghold is true, which is that it's a lie
mm-hmm.
that creeps in and grabs hold of you, then let's maybe talk about the lies we're believing that create the stronghold
yeah.
because we could be believing a lie not good enough
yeah.
mm-hmm. and that might manifest in a bunch of different
yeah.
ways. Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about the lie.
Yeah. I think the big one is self-image for women. I'm not sure
yeah,
about men.
Absolutely.
But,
you could also do the lies of today's world because
yeah.
like if you become into the form of the addictions of today's society, you're believing of the lies of today. Mm-hmm. You're believing mm-hmm. of the lies of that's your
foothold. What the world says you yeah. should
of
be.
Your, this is what world. I should look like. This is what I should buy. Act like. This is how much right. money I need to yeah. have.
Instead of
need
going towards the route of this is the Lord's word, mm-hmm. we listen to the world's word.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay, let me talk about this lie that we're not enough, because I think that covers a lot of ground, mm-hmm. so let's be efficient. Mm-hmm. How does the lie, you're not enough, get a toehold?
It starts small.
I'm going to throw out, unfortunately, I think parents sometimes make you feel like you're not enough. Like, if your parents yeah. aren't careful,
mm-hmm.
and that's they true. Maybe, you know, work harder at that sport, or mm-hmm. what did you eat today?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that...
Yeah.
Some parents do an awful job with that, and some mm-hmm. parents accidentally do that.
Right.
They put extreme high expectations on others.
Yeah. Mm. I feel bad. I don't want to judge or make any parents feel bad. But happens. I think, okay, look, you know, a lot of people who are listening will be parents, but everybody who's listening is a child right. of
yeah.
a parent.
Yeah.
Right. So let's think of it from the child point of view. Mm-hmm. Did you know, I had great parents. I'll tell you the truth. They did a great job. They loved me well. They weren't perfect,
mm-hmm.
and I would say that can creep in. You know what's funny? I think sometimes it creeps in if you're good at something. Then they get yeah. behind it, and then there's like this pushing.
Mm.
Like they see a natural talent, and then they mm-hmm. want you to be the best you can be at that, yeah. and mm-hmm. sometimes the lines get blurred. Mm.
But you also have to think about the other side of it. It's not the expectation of others being put on you. It's expectations that you put on yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll use myself as this morning. I had really high expectations to get things done. And this is, I was laughing when you said what it was. I was like, oh, this is so funny. Because I did feel like I had a foothold, like a toehold. I'm like, no, I have to do this. I'm still going to go. I'm still going to go. I'm putting these obstacles in front of me. I'm still going to go. Mm-hmm. And I did have the little voices of like, just don't go. You're already late.
You're already too late, yeah.
It's mm-hmm. not worth yeah. it. Mm-hmm. You're not going to input anything. Like, mm-hmm. And I'm like, nope, mm-hmm. I'm going to go.
Yeah.
I'm doing it. Like, I God wants me there. I'm sorry I didn't put you first. But, like, this morning I put myself first instead of the Lord first. Mm-hmm. And he was showing me that, like, no, I'm going to be first. Mm-hmm. But this whole morning was, like, okay.
A mess.
It was a mess because I put myself first. And then the negative thinking started coming in. And then when I realized that I wasn't the one in control, I was supposed to give it back to him, my day started going better.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of started, it started being funny to me. And I kind of started laughing about it. Because then the more I laugh at myself and not take myself seriously, the voices stop.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad that you had a chuckle about it, because it is like, how do I not know that by now? How did I let that get in front of me again?
Mm-hmm.
How are some other ways, any of these, you don't have to pick the one I picked, but can you think of...
Well, back to self-image, the whole, just the media, and like you were saying earlier, letting ourselves be entrenched in the world and the world's view of things. And mm-hmm. it's so easy to do because we're in the world.
Young.
And it does start very young. And you can see it in young girls and how they dress and who they look up to as far as their idols, you know, pop stars and mm-hmm. actresses, and feeling like that's what everyone wants me to be. And it's such an easy trap for a girl to fall into.
It's also boys, too.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
It is, because I see it on both worlds.
I haven't seen it as much with my son, but, yeah.
Isabel's, she's in kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to remind her, I'm like, well, Jesus made us this way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have to remind her of the words that Jesus has taught us
mm-hmm.
to knock out those lies that people tell her. It starts at a very young age that I think that's where Satan likes to work.
Oh, my gosh, mm-hmm. yeah.
Mm-hmm. He wants to grab the children first.
Yeah, and even not just celebrities, but you walk into Target and the models, you mm-hmm. see commercials.
Mm-hmm.
They're all picture perfect.
I know girls who have all different body styles.
Mm-hmm.
You walk into a store and it's very frustrating because I think they think their age should correlate to the size.
Right. Yeah.
And it doesn't.
No.
Mm-mm.
That's where you're talking about, Allie. It starts really young.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're
because
already,
it's the whispers.
Something is already telling them not something about you is not right.
Right. Yeah. Because you don't fit.
That's insipid.
Yeah.
And then
awful.
You think about
media.
It.
Air quotes society, but it's really, I think it's the media. It's what we see on
it's
TV.
It's everything.
What we see
I know it is. It is.
The size in my pants isn't the media.
Right.
Somebody else is deciding that.
Oh, right.
What size these pants should be called.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what size the kids' pants. And Don't even get me started on a store I won't mention because I'm sure I'll get sued. Not that anybody that big is listening to me. But there is a store. It's a mall-based store with a lot of blingy clothes. Mm-hmm. And they're a children's store, and mm-hmm. they have thongs in size 6.
Yeah.
Oh, that is awful.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
And push-up bras.
Yeah.
With padding and pushing up to make them have cleavage.
The devil likes taking footholds in children at a very young age because Jesus and God, like, we all, like, he loved the children. And I think it's really important that we teach them the truth at a young age so mm-hmm. they can compete Absolutely. With the lies that they have. Mm-hmm. Because when they get older, he uses the same techniques
yes.
as he did as a child.
I was mm-hmm. just going to say, Satan is smart. The enemy is smart. And he goes back to the strongholds where he's gotten mileage in the past.
Yeah.
And he's very opportunistic. And I think you're right. He tests us at a young age before we have the ability to understand what is happening, and he learns about us. He learns what our weaknesses are, and everybody's wired differently. Mm-hmm. Just in the same way that my faith has a different personality, my weaknesses have a different personality than yours or yours or yours. Mm-hmm. And I do think he finds out our personality, our sin personality, our weakness personality, and he goes after it. I feel him doing that with me all the time. I'm mm-hmm. like, man, it's a different approach, mm-hmm. same sin.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not laying that all on him. I know it's the reason that he gets a lot of mileage out of it is because it's what I call, this is another Christian buzzword, my cherished sin. What cherished sin is it's the sin that you just cannot seem to let go of. Somehow, even though you want to surrender your life to God, you're holding on to it. Mm-hmm. As Dr. Phil would say, I'm still getting some payout. There's still mm-hmm. something, I'm still getting something from yeah. that. And that Christians sometimes call that your cherished sin, which is a oxymoron. Mm-hmm. If you really right. love the Lord, you right. don't want to have a sin that you cherish. But mm-hmm. the truth is, no one's looking, when mm-hmm. no one's talking about it,
yeah.
when you're alone in your bed at night mm-hmm. thinking about it, you know what that is in mm-hmm. your life. Mm-hmm. Where you're just like, man, I just cannot let it go.
And that's yeah. where the flesh plays.
Yeah.
That's right. That's what I mean about this partnership.
Flesh, yeah.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So is there more we want to say about strongholds, toeholds? Is there anything you guys want to share?
Maybe just piggyback kind of what Allie was saying earlier, but my to-do list kind of it holds on to
it
me.
Does get and, a stronghold.
Yeah. And then it consumes
hallelujah
you.
Moment. You just, I never would have thought of my yeah. to-do list as a stronghold.
Yeah, because I have all of these things on it, and not necessarily is one thing more important to the other, but I got to get to Joanne's to get that fabric. Or should I sit and do my Bible study? You know, well, but Joanne's going
to
close. I can do it after.
Mm.
Yeah.
Knock
it. You know,
you have your to-do list
dishes.
This morning.
Yeah, yeah that's yeah. what.
That's what I said. I'm like, I'm off my schedule.
I
was like, I have
leave
to do
without
the schedule.
Yeah.
I have to do the bed. I have to, yep. but I need to do my devotions. I need to read my,
right.
I need to read my Proverbs.
And
it messed me up.
Right. And when I finish my to-do list, I feel like accomplished.
Right.
But you don't think about, well, when I feel my, or finish my.
When I don't finish it.
Yeah. When I don't finish. Yeah. Or when I don't do my Bible study, something's missing. When I finish it, it's a whole different kind of
good
not
feeling.
Like good feeling.
It's
yeah, it's
peace.
Yeah.
Okay, so you do. I have to say, let's just be real. I do feel peaceful when my to-do list is all scratched
Absolutely,
off.
Absolutely. So do I.
I don't even care if it's like to me, accomplished means like I don't know that someone outside of me would recognize that mm-hmm. I did stuff. I don't even care about that.
Yeah.
I just want to lay down at night and feel like this day wasn't a waste of my
right.
time.
But I yeah. think that's where Bible study and quiet time and time with the Lord in this society is not viewed as productive.
Yeah.
And there is this
Brittany
lie that
yeah.
we all fall into of having to, yeah,
do
have,
other
have
stuff.
Accomplishments that
yeah.
people can see that show that we are a useful human being.
Meanwhile, yesterday, Aaron and I had coffee on the schedule.
Yep.
And it was 10 o'clock, and then we pushed it to 10:30. But we did get out, and then it was so beautiful that I said, let's go somewhere outside. Anyway, long story short, we decided to come back here, and I was just sitting in my yard in a chair. I felt – I actually, when I went to the car to get my chair out of my car, I was dancing. You're so
Same.
Wise that the to-do list is a stronghold.
Yeah.
I am going to be processing that for a long time.
Well, it's something that I know every day when I'm crossing stuff off. I'm like, I think it's almost prioritizing what's on my to-do list, you know, that I do have, that I need to have the quiet time and I need to do my Bible study because that makes me feel good and, mm-hmm. you know, connected. but it's where I'm putting it on the list. When am I going to go to the store? But when, you know, why am I putting going to the store above?
Before.
Yeah.
And the truth is, I don't know about you, but if I don't do it first thing in the morning and my day gets ramped up, I don't get back to it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you know what else I have to say? If I do it in the morning, yesterday, it was a balanced day. It was a good day. I got a bunch of stuff done, but I didn't feel like I was running around with a chicken with my head cut off. And consistently, I don't know if this is true for you guys, but consistently, when I do that with God, when I give him my first fruits of the day, I feel like he multiplies my time during the day. And it's so stupid for me not to do it.
Right.
And I just, it's a stronghold. That it's like this little voice or this little something poking at me that says, but you have so much to do today.
You
don't have to. You don't really have time for that.
And then you submit to it. I mean.
And I go down. I go down and drown.
And I noticed in my family, and it's like a whole unified thing. If we don't take the time first thing in the morning, and we spend like a good hour first thing in the morning to be one with the Lord, it messes us up all day.
And so, and you know
it's like
that.
A domino effect.
And yet, you allow it to happen the next day. It's messed up. Okay.
And I feel like
we're all just feeling better about
ourselves. Anyway.
Stronghold. I feel like once you recognize that and then you submit it to back to God, he takes it back up and he's like, okay. And it starts over.
And let's try this again.
I'm very grateful of his mercy and grace because not just like, you know, the first time that we do it, he's like, okay, well, you recognize it, you come to me, you submit to yourself to me, and it's like, okay, here we go.
Allie, in situations like that, don't you just feel completely blown away by his unending mercy and grace?
Absolutely.
Where you're just like, man, I did it again.
I'm blown
away
by
how
much.
And you love me anyway.
Yeah, how much he loves us.
Yeah.
And how much that he would just sit there and he would just wait for us.
And you feel the love.
Yeah.
The only thing I ever feel when I sin is separation. I know I rarely feel his condemnation. We can talk about being convicted another day. Actually, there's another Bible study. Look in the archives. about the difference between God's Holy Spirit convicting you and Satan accusing you. I'm not saying I never feel convicted by God or by his word. But through the blood of Jesus, I never feel like he's mad at me. And I've never felt like God was mad at me. I never feel like that from God. He's always just like, I'm glad you're back. And that is amazing. Isn't that amazing?
And I just feel sometimes that we do the disappointment on ourselves. And we start the trend. And we start the domino effect. And we allow it to come in because we do that to ourselves.
And because we think that's how we would feel. If someone did it to us, so
but
we,
he's not us.
Internalize that. That's. I mean, I feel like that's a conversation we could have for another 2 hours.
Agreed.
But I don't think we should. I don't think we should move on until we just allow for God's grace when we do finally break a stronghold, or just get our head above the water. Even if we're not even totally broken the stronghold, he's just there with his grace and mercy, and I just don't think we should forget to mention that. Because we're talking a lot about how we're screwing up. And I think it's important to say he doesn't ever run out of grace and mercy for how many times we screw up.
And it's new every day. New every day.
And I need it new every day.
Yeah, totally.
If you're struggling with mental health issues, we have additional resources on our website, studywithfriends.org. Click on the Captive Series under the Bible Study tab. For more immediate help, specifically in the area of self-harm, please call 1-800-273-TALK. That's 1-800-273-8255. If you missed any of today's program, or if you'd like the entire Captive Series on CD, we'd love to send it to you for a donation of any amount. Because the battle for our thoughts is an ongoing one, this is a good CD series to have, and we want you to have access to it. Please visit studywithfriends.org/donate for giving options. Study with Friends is a listener-supported program, and we're kept on the air by your faithful prayers and financial support. That's studywithfriends.org/donate. We believe in the importance of your local church. If you don't regularly attend Sunday services and a small group Bible study, please find one. Be discerning. Make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week and in every small group situation. Thanks for being with us. See you next time on Study with Friends.